When churches check themselves out against those listed in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, there's one church they want to be like. The church at Philadelphia earned high marks from Jesus for its faithfulness and its vision. They persevered, they kept his word, and they never denied his name. Today, a look at the importance of vision and going through the open doors Jesus sets before us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his 8-part series on what Jesus thinks of his church. We're in Revelation chapter 3, learning about the church at Philadelphia and also learning about the vision of Moody Church.
For example, I like to mention that we wish that we had a full-time pastor whose only responsibility was the universities and the colleges in our immediate area here in the great city of Chicago, some 50, I think. I mean, the need is so great. What those students are going through, what they have to endure. But you can see here that sometimes our vision is greater than our resources. But God says, I have put before you an open door which no man can shut. Is it possible for us, though, to fail at walking through those opportunities? Absolutely. We'd all confess that we've failed in walking through opportunities that God gives us, whether it's a personal witness. I remember talking to a Christian who said he was in a barber's chair, and the man began to ask him questions about what he believed, and he said, my tongue just got tied and I could hardly say anything, because the man wasn't trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was an open door. God says, here's an open door, but you know, it is possible to have an open door and not walk through it. Do you see today our opportunities? We actually could, if God were to send a great wave of his blessing upon this church and other churches in the city that preach the gospel, because there are many. We could become the church that could change the city, this city, that could change the world. God says, I've set before you an open door. What a place to be strategically located. The middle of the nation, in a sense, the Midwest, the city of Chicago. So Jesus says to that little church, you know, you have little power, but I'm on your side because you're faithful. What an open door he gave them. Now there's another door that he's able to open, and that is the door of paradise. The door of paradise. And here we get to the end of the text where it speaks about, and by the way, when it says I'm coming soon, it primarily means I come when you least expect it. In other words, I'm coming unexpectedly. And as I mentioned, that's connected with the previous verse. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. Are we going to give an account for the way in which we lived? Yes, indeed. It's sobering. Every Christian standing individually in the presence of Jesus and explaining to Jesus why he did what he did on earth. That's what the Bible teaches. The one who conquers, who's faithful, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven. Parenthesis. You know that this book has to be inspired of God. Did you know that? No man could ever write these things. And did you know that the people who die today, and we can all think of friends of ours, relatives who've died, and they're in heaven, that's not their permanent home. The permanent home is the new Jerusalem, which is going to come down from God out of heaven, as described in Revelation chapter 21. And what a home it's going to be. And that's where the text now refers to that. It says, I will write on him, the one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. I'll write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear. Are you listening today? Are you listening? He who has an ear, let him hear. You know, in those days, they would take a pillar to honor someone, and on that pillar, they would inscribe the name of someone that they wanted to honor. That's the imagery that's going on here. But in the New Jerusalem, there aren't pillars like we think of temples today, because there's no material pillars to hold something up. The pillars are the people. And so Jesus said that if you are faithful, I'll write on you. It actually says I'll write on him. I'll write on you three names. The name of my Father in heaven, the name of the New Jerusalem, which is going to come down from God out of heaven to the earth, the name of the New Jerusalem, and my own new name. Remember the intimacy that we've learned about here? That there'll be things that you and Jesus know about in your fellowship with him that not even your wife or closest friends in heaven will know about. That's how intimate it gets. And he says, I'll write on him also my new name. You talk about a reward for being faithful. And Jesus says, I'm going to do all of this for you if you're faithful. Behold, I've set before you an open door which no one can shut. Nobody can shut it. Jesus is saying, you walk through it. This is your reward. Obviously, he overpays, because he gives such generous rewards to those of us who are such sinners, and it's all by grace. What's the bottom line? Well, the bottom line is simply this, that Jesus opens and closes doors. You know, he said elsewhere, and this imagery is found throughout the Bible, he says in Revelation chapter 1, if we were to look at it, he says, I have the keys of death and of Hades. He's the keeper of the keys. Hear me carefully. You personally, your eternal destiny will be determined. It will be determined by Jesus. He has the keys of death. When it's time for you to die, you will die. And while it is true that something that you do may cause and hasten your death, at the end of the day, even if that didn't happen, you would die within God's providential time. There is a time. He has the keys of death. But he also has the keys of Hades. Hades is that underworld where people used to go, and I think still go, because Hades has not yet been cast into hell fire as it is at the end of the book of Revelation. And so Jesus says, I've got the key. And I want you to visualize a castle. Everybody comes in, and there's the key to paradise, and there's the key to Hades, and Jesus is making all of these decisions. And once you're there, you can never change course or switch doors. That decision is made here in this life. This life is preparation for eternity. So I need to ask you a question today. Given the doors that Jesus is able to open and has opened, is your life today, do you know Jesus? So that, as I mentioned earlier, we made that wonderful statement, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find a pasture. Apart from him, you can't get to the Father. You can't get to paradise without going through that open door. But here's the real thing that you have to listen to. The time has come when the door is going to be closed. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is telling the story of 10 young women. Five of them have oil in their lamps. The other five don't. And the five that don't, they come later on, and the Bible says the door is shut, and they shouted and said, open up unto us. But he said, the day of opportunity is over. It's gone. Same story in Luke 13. They will shout, and can't you imagine, Lord, I was a member of the church. You should let me in. Lord, I was a good person. Lord, my parents had me baptized. And he will say to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. The door is closed. The man who opens the door and no one can shut it is the same one who closes the door. And when it's closed, no one can open it. Well, that's it. Are you ready to pray? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that we serve a sovereign Lord. Thank you that Jesus is the keeper of all keys. Thank you that there is no place on this planet or any planet where he is excluded. Thank you that he walks through closed doors of countries. He walks through closed doors in our homes. He walks even into closed hearts, and as he wills, opens them. We ask today for all those who've never trusted him as Savior. And we pray for ourselves. We pray that we might be able to walk through the open door as a church and see this city changed by the power of the gospel. Now, before I close this prayer, I do have a question for you, my friend. Do you have the assurance that someday Jesus will open the door for you to paradise? That's the question. Remember that assurance comes when we believe that Jesus did all that ever will be necessary for us to stand in his presence, and we respond to that and embrace it and put our faith in him. Are you there? If not, even where you are, you can say, Lord Jesus, right now, would you save me? I want to go through that open door that you've provided that I might be saved. You tell God that right now, wherever you are. You may be listening on the internet. You may be listening on the radio. You may be listening right here at the Moody Church. But you talk to God. Father, hear the cry of every heart. Hear the cry of the broken hearts. Hear the cry of those who doubt. Hear the cry of those who know you, but find it so hard to trust. Hear us, Lord Jesus, we pray today in your blessed name. Amen. Amen. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I want to begin by speaking to you personally about the door of your heart. Of course, in the text, God is talking about the door of opportunity for the church, but there is an application to be made, isn't there? Could it be that God is speaking to you and you've not opened that door? You've not said to yourself, I receive him as Savior, I believe on him. If you trust Jesus Christ as the result of our media ministry, I'd really appreciate it if you'd connect with us and tell us about it. It is such an encouragement. And then there are those of you who know Christ as Savior, and God is speaking to you today about open doors. The door to witness, the door of opportunity for your family, your co-workers, your neighbors, wherever it is that God has planted you. He's given us many open doors, and he wants us to be able to walk through those. In a moment, you're going to be given information as to how you can get this series of messages so that you can play it again and again and share it with your friends. What could be more important than understanding Jesus Christ's message and evaluation of the church should be high on our priority list.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up When Jesus Observes Our Vision, his seventh message on what Jesus thinks of his church, taken from Revelation chapter 3. Tomorrow, we visit the final church and hear words of judgment to a church that's lukewarm. We all need to know what Jesus thinks of his church, and this eight-part series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about what Jesus thinks of his church. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.